This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hello, everybody. Oscar night was this past Sunday, and horror reigned over. Also, World War Z 2 has been delayed. We'll talk about that. And we got a neat new trailer that I'm very looking forward to, this film. I just learned about it today. It's called Prospect. All this and more on Horror Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
He's dabbing. Yes, he is.
A painful dab, a very painful dab.
That was.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Horror Movie News. We are on episode 20.
Woo!
Wow.
2-0. I know.
2-0, the big 2-0. With us, as usual, it's me, Anthony Becerra. And next to me, I have.
Hey, Carrie Lane here.
Hey, guys, I'm Oliver Jenin.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon.
Hey everyone, this is Chauncey K. Robinson.
Yes, we have two new additions. You have seen them before, but now they are permanent.
Ooh. They just got
cast. They're stuck with us.
Yeah,
they're stuck with us. The new castings for horror movies.
Woo! Yeah.
Casting.
So, yep, glad to have you guys on our show. Super excited to see how this show grows with so many people now. This is actually very...
And more ladies than men.
Yeah.
Woo!
I always pick the female character in video games, just saying.
You're an honorary
man. I am.
I didn't notice that before, but yes, that's awesome. So let's do some quick house cleaning. Where to follow us? So you can follow us at popcorntalknetwork.com, as well as youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork, and follow us on Twitter at horrornewsptn, and also, as always, of course, Apple Podcasts. Please leave a five-star rating, like, subscribe, give us all your thumbs up, and just type in Horror Movie News, and you'll see this icon, which we now have to change because there's two more additions, and that's us. So leave a comment, rate, subscribe, and everything, and if you do that, you will be entered for our drawing for the ritual book that David Bruckner and Andrew Scrollkind so happily signed for us last week. And that could be yours if you choose to do what I say. All right. So let's get into our first segment, The Abyss. What have we been watching? I didn't get to do a film last week that I saw like 2 weeks ago, but that's fine. I'll touch on that later. Anyone wants to go first, or should I just...
How about go on the couch?
Sure. I recently, over the weekend on Sunday, watched Veronica.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to talk about.
Yeah, I watched that. And, yeah.
What'd you think?
I don't know. I feel like, in a way, it didn't really add anything new to the Exorcist/Ouija board gone wrong genre. I mean, it was very great. It was stylized really well. The acting by the young actors was really cool. But I don't know. I'm also one of those people who was never scared by the Exorcist movie either.
Right.
I thought it looked cool. So, I mean, maybe that's just not my plot line when it comes to horror. So maybe it wasn't really affected. But everyone was saying, like, it was a movie that, you know, it's so scary you have to turn it off halfway through. And I was expecting that. And that didn't happen. So
I have to...
disagree.
For the most part.
Piggyback.
Yeah, like, I mean... It didn't scare me to the point where, like, I'm still thinking about it to this day where, like, I'm terrified of it. Like, rarely do films, like, frighten me other than Requiem for a Dream. That thing still haunts me. I hate needles. But I totally agree with you about how you said it's very stylized. Like, some of these shots and some of the transitions are just fantastic. And I love how more and more horror movies are becoming more artful, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed this film. I mean, yeah, there's some, like, generic horror tropes that come up that, like, you know, some jump scares. But I like the sheer Like there were some, I categorize them different from like jump scares. There were like there were just like very terrifying moments of realization. Hmm. Where like once you're like, oh no, what? Like kind of like once you realize something in the film, it makes it terrifying for that fact where you're just like, oh my god. And I really enjoyed that aspect. Overall, I think it's a very, very tight-knit, like, really well-made film. And in that regards, it's worth a watch for sure. It's directed by Paco Plaza, who did...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The original Wreck back in 2007. And yeah, it's about a so it takes place in Madrid in back in 1991. A teen girl finds herself besieged by an evil supernatural force after she played the Ouija with two classmates, and I wrote down very stylized, some very scary moments, moments of terrifying realizations. One of my favorite highlights of the film is just the shot of they call her Sister Death, I believe, the nun.
Yeah. She was, like, a really cool character. I think weird nuns are always cool in movies, so that was fine for me. She was, like, probably one of the highlights. Her and the main girl.
Yeah, I was about to say, she was, like, one of my favorite parts of the film. Just, like, it tried to imagine a blind nun smoking in a basement. And then, like, it just looks, it looks beautiful. Like, it's such an absurd thing, but it's just so... beautiful to see.
Yeah, it was such a stylized movie. It was really pretty.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I want to say pretty when I watch horror, so I don't know.
I do.
Is this a Netflix original?
Yeah, I mean, no. It's not a Netflix original. It's distributed by Netflix.
So. I mean, it could be beautiful, because, like, the ritual, the cinematography, like, the landscape was just gorgeous. So, I mean, but I see what you mean of, like, that's not necessarily a main concern in horror. Yeah. But horror, you're kind of used to more the gritty... and, like, things being dark, or, it's not necessarily that it needs to be pretty.
Yeah, I like it dark and dirty.
I can really can really appreciate things that are, like, terrifying and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Like, I remember some weeks ago when I was on here, I said, Tigers Are Not Afraid, which was premiered at Screamfest, was also, like, it was also a Spanish horror film, and I had another young people kind of cast, and it was beautiful, but it was also, I used the word beautiful, I don't know, maybe it's semantics, because I think pretty, I think sweet, and when I think beautiful, I can think haunting, you know, and I think this movie had some pretty moments in terms of the music, the 90s music, I love 90s music, but it was, I don't know, I just felt like something was missing for me in terms of, like, terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, yeah, I do have to agree too that, like, I don't think it added too much to the genre itself. But I think some of the things that they did, the way they did them, was very neat and very, I guess, like a modern take on things. Yeah. And I really enjoyed the creature effect, whatever that thing was. It's, like, never really defined what it is exactly, but it's very
interesting.
Very this cool. Sounds it's good. Definitely practical.
I have to see it's on my queue.
I've been meaning to watch this because I also want to see, like, another foreign film. Well, it's Canadian, but it's in French. Ravenous on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that's come out. That's blowing up on Netflix.
So I definitely need to see that and Ravenous. But I think it also, you know, taste comes into question, because it's like not everyone's gonna like the exorcisms, like I don't really like exorcism horror, but I still want to see it because it's been getting a lot of good
Everybody's talking about it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm like, I'll give it a shot.
I've been meaning to see it. It's like one of those that's like it's just being pushed down our throats on Netflix. It's just like, hey, Ravenous. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, when it's like that, I'm like, fuck that. I'm not too, like, excited to watch something that's, like, being pushed down my throat like that. But I'll give it a shot. The other movie I saw, thanks to our wonderful engineer in the booth, Steven Egbert. He recommended this movie a while ago. And this is kind of like a follow-up to Biozombie. This is Tokyo Zombie. They're not related at all, but it feels like a spiritual, like, in the same vein. Because it also includes two friends who are, like, you know, going through... It's just so weird. It's hard to explain. It's definitely... It's a, okay, let me try to read the synopsis. It's a horror it's actually based off a manga, I believe. It's a horror comedy manga feature about two blue-collar factory workers who just so happen to be jujitsu experts. Well, that's questionable. One of them, really.
Okay.
Dealing with ravenous flesh-eating zombie uprising in Tokyo, and it's just it kind of feels like a Monty Python skit throughout how, like, the transitions are so seamless.
So I would enjoy it.
So you'll be, like, in one scene, and then it just, like, cuts to, like, something so random, and you're just like, wait, what? Like, weren't we just back? And then, or like, okay, let's just go with this. Let's just keep watching this. And you're like, oh, okay, that was cool. And then you cut back to the main story, and you're like, oh, wait, I forgot about these guys. That's right. This is a story we're following, not what I just witnessed. And it's so kooky, zany, just batshit's nuts, and I loved it. I loved every part of it. It was really good, yeah. And some of the shots too are just so they feel very like Wes Anderson, like Anderson. Yeah. Like it's just so like they have like this crazy, like the way they use the foreground and the background in that film is so masterful. It's just like there's one scene in particular where they're like in a factory in the foreground here. And then they go to the background, they climb up, and then they leave the factory. And it's all in the same shot. So they leave the factory, the camera just, like, pans over. And then they're climbing, they're in the background, then they come back to the foreground and get in their car. That's in the foreground, like, right next to the... And it's just like, wow, like, that's so... Like, it's just so well done. And it's just something, like, a shot that really stuck with me.
Mm.
And highly recommend that film, too. It's called Tokyo Zombie, 2005, directed by Sakichi Sato, and definitely watch with the crowd. It was really fun with the crowd. I saw it with Steven and his friend Tyler, and we had a blast in that theater. It was just so funny.
Sweet. No, I think sweet. That sounds fun. Like, yes, good. It sounds good. And not live action, but Japanese. Finish Kakegurui and stay tuned. That's later today at 6 p.m. We'll talk about the end of it. Spoiler, but not really. I wish there was more supernatural to it, because I kind of wondered, because she has these crazy red eyes. I'm like, oh, maybe there's something supernatural, a monster, something.
Mm-hmm.
There's not. And I'm like, darn. But it kind of deals with insanity, because she gets other people to be as crazy as her, and then they do weird stuff, and so you're like, all right. It's a really crazy and over-the-top fun show. It's very stylized, and I can understand not liking it, because, like, their faces go crazy when they're, like, angry or upset, and that's almost uncomfortable, but I think that's good, because then it, like, made you feel like, oh, this is, I don't know. So there's that. And then I finished Elias Grace. It is a very slow burn. It is no Handmaid's Tale. If anybody doesn't know about that show, it's the same Margaret Atwood as the author, and she did Handmaid's Tale, and that as a show is like intense and amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I felt Elias Grace was just kind of slow, but it's not bad, but it's just
slow.
If you got time, it's worth checking out on Netflix, but wasn't don't
like
rush.
Isn't there like six
it's a
six episodes?
It's a six yeah, part yeah. episode, but it just they're meaty episodes. Like the 40 minutes feels like a long time. Like I'll pause and like if I got to get up or something, and it's like, oh man, I'm only like 20 minutes in.
And you like definitely have to listen to everything. Is it one of those?
It kind of is, because the question is did she murder her? So she's like a house servant, and did she murder her boss and like her owner, essentially, in that sense? Because it's one of those like it's Irish immigrant to the point of, I mean, she can leave and get another job, but it's more than a boss. Like, you don't have a life. And did she murder them or not? Like, actively, or was she insane? And it's questionable what answers you get on that. So that's kind of interesting, because she tells stuff to a psychiatrist, and where does that go? So that's pretty good. I also saw Black Panther and Annihilation.
Nice.
Annihilation.
Annihilation, I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Right.
It is very pretty. We were talking about pretty. Like, visually pretty stunning. Pretty
and terrifying.
It's, yeah.
No, I wouldn't go with terrifying.
You didn't think that beer was terrifying?
That was the probably the most scary part.
I was like, that beer?
No, the bear.
It's my accent.
No, you're fine. Yeah, the bear is, that was a really good part.
Yeah, that was the most terrifying
That was the most, like, oh, just made you uncomfortable. Yeah. That was great.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah, but, especially, like, the vocals, too.
Yeah, just the sound did a great job with that.
Yeah.
And even when the Tessa Thompson's character gets grabbed, like, it's in the trailer, but I still jumped when it happened. I'm like, oh, that was good. But those are about the only parts I was actually scared. I am kind of, like, worried for them, and, like, there's a lot of gross, disturbing visuals, and, like, the world they created is beautiful. So at first I was like, oh, would I say see this on Netflix later? No, like, seeing it in theaters on a big screen is great, but maybe for the matinee? Like, I don't know. It just didn't... Similar to how you're saying on the other movie, it's just, it didn't hook me. I just, I wasn't... And I did love that it was a female team. Like, that was kind of cool. Everybody was interesting, little characters. Everybody had their own thing going on, which was great. But I just was like,
super diverse female team.
Yeah, it's like, so in those aspects, great. But, like, as... Like, there's you as a critic watching, and then you as just, like, a movie, like, watcher. And as just a regular movie watcher, I'm like, eh, fine. You know, you're like, that was cool. But I didn't leave going, wow, that was great. Like, call my friends. Oh, you guys got to see this, you know. So, I'm, like, totally downplay it. Like, my not loving it doesn't mean I don't like it. Just means, like, it was cool. Guys, it's
great. She's wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. Right? Oh, man.
I you really can go on liked
that.
It.
I know you did. I really and liked I was it excited too. That I was like, oh, my friends back. All I'm love sorry. It. And on Twitter, everyone's like, oh, my gosh, it's so great. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go check it out. And then I'm like, it's okay. Like, it's solid 3 out of 5. Like, that's my, like, it's good. 5 is like, I need to go buy that right now. Okay. 4, tell all your friends you got to see it, and maybe you'll maybe go back. And 3 is like, okay, that was cool. Like, that's where I sit.
What were you going to say, Anthony?
Yeah.
Before I go on, because I saw it again.
Okay.
So. Yeah, you know, that's great.
I've only seen it once, so I don't have the benefit of seeing it again. But I do have to say, the first 2 acts, I was just like, okay. Like, I was not impressed with it at all. The 3rd act is what did it for me, and I think that's what saves a film. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if a whole film is okay if the 3rd act is great. Because I know it can be, like, look at Wonder Woman, the 3rd act was shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's like,
still a great film.
It's fine. Yeah. Like,
no,
that.
But I'm saying
still awesome.
I'm saying it can, but it can kind of like really hinder a film.
Yeah.
If the 3rd act is bad. So I'm like, this is kind of like the quite opposite. Where for me, the first two acts, I'm just like, the acting was just a little like, ooh, like Natalie Portman just kind of running through her lines. I felt like, and some of the things that, like, she did didn't really like make too much sense to me. I'm just like, okay, you're just gonna go in there because all right. I was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I bought it. I got, like, I made myself like, yeah, okay, I'm into it.
Yeah.
I really like the 3rd act the most. If that, if the movie was just the 3rd act, I'd be like, yes. But the first 2 acts were just like okay to me.
See, like that end bit, I was on too long. And actually, I was excited after your review of it. Cool. You're like, oh my gosh, and I was like,
that end bit is so beautiful, so magical.
I can see where it kind of magical.
Yeah. I was just like that dance they do, and it's so.
Did you guys ever read, like, the books or familiar with the
books? I want to read the book, though.
Because the books, I was talking to my coworker, he, like, has been reading it. And it's way.
Plural?
Yeah,
it's a trilogy. It's 3, yeah.
So it'll be cool to see if they, like, continue it, but I hear, like, the book is a lot different than the film. It's, like, a lot different. And then there's this scene where they go down into, like, the tower or wherever.
The lighthouse?
Yeah. So,
which they do.
And it, the book just... Yeah, they do. They do. But there's... more. I don't want to get into spoilers. Yeah. But the wall on the flesh... Okay, I can't even
flesh wall.
Right the wall. Did you hear about the flesh wall?
No,
there's, like, a wall, and it's, like, flesh. And there's, like, writing on it.
Like, oh,
it sounds really creepy.
That's the other thing.
I feel like... I'm just saying that I feel like the book is, like, super creepy. And I wish they would have added more creepiness into the film. But it was definitely, like, really aesthetically pleasing to watch. The shimmer and everything. And the cast was amazing. It's so funny because the actress that plays Shepherd's character, who dies from...
Spoiler.
Yeah, I haven't seen the first.
They tell you pretty early in the movie. They're like, you're the only one who got out.
It's like, how did? What about this character? Dead.
Yeah.
Like, and I kind of didn't like that because I was expecting everyone to die, you know, as a audience member. But I will say that Shepherd character. It looks a lot like you, Carrie. Am I the one who thinks like, I was like, this is Carrie. I'm like, that's Carrie, Nelaine.
But anyway. No, the flesh wall, sorry, that made me think. I'm like, wait, I thought of another thing. I guess it was like I wanted more creative stuff, or it made me think of the Doctor Who episode, Where's My Mommy? And also in Fullmetal Alchemist of like the alchemy of the dog daughter thing. Oh, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. So in this movie, I'm just the thing making stuff, I felt like was a similar to those concepts where it just doesn't understand human and animal anatomy, and so it's doing it wrong. And it was creepier in those other things for me. Like those other things, it was just like, oh, this is creepy and weird and disturbing. And in this, you're just like, yeah. Like, I don't know, but I don't know if that's the book or the movie, you know, like, it's the source material. Safe
in the film, you think?
Like, I felt they could have done something even more, because again, like, it's the bear combining, like, things that you're not expecting that you go, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, the alligator thing, I'm like, it looked like an alligator, except its mouth is different.
To me, because the only movie that terrifies me, other than the birds, is Lake Placid, and everyone always laughs, but you know what?
I like that movie.
I grew up living by swamps.
Yeah,
and
okay.
You know what? That was what was in the swamps, guys. Yeah. Like, I grew up in East Texas, so that movie is terrifying because it could really happen. So now I need to see Annihilation, but maybe with my mommy.
Definitely with
the alligator is a good, that was a good effect, but it's not quite as visually creepy the way the bear is. So
right. I like bears.
On to the next, Ollie.
I already saw Annihilation.
Yeah.
And all I'll say, moving forward is that like it was cool to see it and kind of you notice more things seeing it twice as with any film.
Yeah,
but I'm interested in if they're going to continue it on. Mm. And also Oscar Isaac, shout out to him because he did really well in that film as well. But I haven't been really watching anything else. I'm excited for Jessica Jones season 2.
Yeah.
I'm rewatching season 1 right now. But on to the next one. Take it away.
The only movie I saw in theaters was Game Night. And that's really good. Everybody go see Game Night. Yeah. Like, there's a kidnapping. There's some scary stuff. I mean, Kyle Chandler actually gets to play sort of a bad guy. So you're like, I mean, and it's a good cast. And I really love John Francis Daly, who directed it. But I was like, and then, of course, I watched Nightmare on Elm Street for Chauncey's birthday just last week. But I've seen that 1,000 times. But yeah, I'm more of into the TV because Ash vs. Evil Dead and Lucifer are both back. So if you're, you know, crying too much at Walking Dead, step on over to those and it's fun. I mean, let's just say sign off on Sunday was jizz you later. No spoilers, guys. Just you need to fill that in for Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Nice. Oof.
Yeah.
Wait, you already went. Okay.
That's a franchise I haven't gotten into yet, but I want to.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's fun horror, because the first one is really more of a student film, and it's actually a little bit scary. Like, they don't really hop into, like, the comedy until Evil Dead 2, and then the show just really ramps it up.
I've seen the movie, the show.
Oh, yeah, you haven't seen the show. But yeah, the show just pretty well sticks with the Army of Darkness sort of theme, and and Lucifer 2 is a really fun show. I mean, they even, you know, Kane has, the first murderer has been a part of this season, that's Tom Welling's character, and then they bring back Abel, but accidentally put him in a woman's body, so hilarity ensues then.
Fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. On to the crypt. What are we recommending? What do we recommend to our audience? What do you want people to know about? I'll go first.
I do have something.
I'll
do mine because it's one of those I'm like, I don't know. But you're like, do you want to know about something? I'm like, I do have something new. So the horror movie I worked on like 2-3 years ago is we had our cast and crew premiere last week. If you guys follow me on social media, you'll see I saw it posted photos of it. The movie is called Followed. And it's about a YouTuber who kind of goes to haunted places and not necessarily debunks them, but like talks about it. Cool. Like he goes to the Pasadena suicide bridge and like, okay, and then here's the history on it. It's really fun. He's very quirky.
Yeah, no ghosts there. I've done that too. Me and my brother were very pissed.
We did a ghost tour as a cast bonding thing, like down walking in that area by Devil's Gate.
Yeah, that's where
super
we went.
Fun. And he has an opportunity to film at like a haunted hotel, and if you guys know the Hotel Cecil down on Main Street, called Stay on Main now, but it's still the same place. Mm-hmm. So the idea is he goes and stay there with his friends to film this big epic special, but things don't quite go as planned. So that would be there. plot of it. It turned out really well. It's hard when you work on something, though, because, like, as I'm watching, I'm like, I remember that day. I remember that day. And that day. And, like where it is. You just know too much behind the scenes. But I think the effects came out really good because I saw this interesting scene, the process of a horror movie come together, because I saw a super, super rough draft. And I'm like, okay. But they trimmed a lot. So, like, the pacing got better. Like, horror, we need pacing. Otherwise, they're like, it's boring. And without, like, the effects, you know, they're just like, title card of like, this will be a computer screen, and you're but seeing it with an audience was good, and seeing all that was great. Some good tension moments. I think we're more of a thriller rather than pure horror, because it's not like jump scare, jump scare, jump scare. It's just more like building of tension, and like visually it came out beautiful. Like, we're on this discussion, beautiful and pretty, but beautiful. I'm like, oh, it looks great, because I mean, it's the idea of these people are all it's found footage style, but not like, I don't know how to hold a camera. I hate that with found footage shit. I'm like, really? If you guys... So the idea... Or like,
why are you still recording?
Yes!
That's the one question everyone asks in found footage.
Oh my gosh. No, this one, it's like, it makes sense because he's a YouTuber live stream. We've seen these people. Like, they film everything. And like, he hires his friends who, like, that's their job. So they film good footage. So anyway, keep a lookout for Followed. It is on social media.
Nice.
And I hope, I don't know when we'll have distribution or festivals, but it's looking really good, and I'd love for other people to see it too.
Yeah, we'd love to talk about it on the show. If we can see it, we need that screener.
Exactly. I'll see what I can do. And then I was the assistant director on it, so that's what my involvement was.
We'll interview you then.
I know, right? And tell you the process of making a horror movie behind the scenes. And we did go to 2 haunted hotels, but I did not see any ghosts. But that's okay.
Damn.
I know. I've stayed in haunted hotels in all sorts of places and never find anything there.
Have you seen anything before, but it was good, though? Like,
oh, yeah. When I was little, like, when my dad's sister died, in his house, like, he'd punched a hole in the wall. He was really upset. And then, like, the front door opened, and then all the cabinets started open, and his cat started freaking out. That was something I really remember vividly that I know for sure, like, it happened. Like, everybody was on the same page. But there have been some other times where I'm like, did that really happen? Like, sort of things. But that one was very vivid.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything. Yeah. But on Cat, there's an island in Japan. I forget the official name, but it's Cat Island. Mm. Like, there's cats everywhere. And some people do live there, but they're just cats roaming the whole island. You can do this, like, easy loop, or, like, there's cat shrines. People turn around, walk back. I was like, I'm going to do the whole loop. We got time.
Ooh.
There's, like, little random temples and shrines, and I'm just like, I respect the space, who's ever here, and it just was like an energy there, like, it wasn't evil or whatever, but it felt like something around, so I'm just like, I'm just walking by, don't mind me.
Yeah,
all right, thank you, and bye.
Well, I got one ghost story. Not really ghost. It's like, I was born with a slight hole over my ear, and in my family, or around my family in the South and stuff like that, it said that means you have a veil or whatever, that you can see things, and if someone looks over your shoulder, they can see someone and things of that nature. And when I was younger, my mom was pushing me, and suddenly she couldn't move, and a shadow came over me, and she sensed that it was her mother, which was my grandmother. And I was smiling up at it, and I was like all happy and everything. Aww. Then it left, and my mom went to one of the church goes, and they was like, "That ain't nothing but the devil, girl."
Oh my god, that is crazy.
I think that's a cute idea if it was like your grandma seeing you.
Yes.
That is amazing. That's like the best ghost story.
I'd like to believe it was my grandmother, but it might have been the devil. So.
I don't think he has time to waste. Yeah, that's like, time to waste on that.
So I gotta go hit up this baby real quick. It's not gonna do that. Like,
I like
it's like Veronica, maybe. No. Who knows?
I love sharing ghost stories. This is amazing. We need to do this more often.
I know. Yes, I'm like, I can maybe think of some more for next week. Well, I'll come up with another one.
I only got one, but we gotta move on. All right. So,
next week.
Real quick, the crypt. A girl walks home at night. That's mine. It's
home alone at night.
A girl walks home alone at night. There we Thank go. You.
Because walks home at night. I'm like, that's...
No, yeah. Okay. It's a weird title. It's from 2014. It's directed by Anna Lily Amirpour. She actually came out with The Bad Batch last year, which was in 2017, that starred Jason Momoa and Suki Waterhouse.
I got to see an early screening of that. It was a very good movie. Keanu Reeves is phenomenal in it. Yeah.
And also the trash man is Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, that's so cool. Like, he had no lines in it, but he's still fantastic in it. It's an Iranian film, and it's shot in black and white, and it mixes many genres, such as horror, romance, and some existential themes. And above all, it's kind of like a love story. It's about this, believe it or not, it's about this vampire girl who's feels lonely in the world and really can't relate to anyone around her, and just, so she wanders the streets at night. And that's where I get like the existential themes from, and then she meets this young man, and she starts to kind of like him, and then you see how their like relationship grows, and it's also a very well shot film, really hard dark shadows because it's in black and white, and it works with it. It touches on like the father and the son's relationship, who she starts falling in love with. It also has to deal with like drug addiction and just being like roaming the world aimlessly, you know, not really having anything to going. What are you going towards? Why are you living it? And that's like where she comes. What her character kind of like evokes. And it's a fantastic film, and I'm really backing this director up, Anna Lilian Amirpour. Like, I was so excited when I saw The Bad Batch coming out, and I saw it in theaters as well, and I can't wait to see what else she's got. So,
cool. Yeah.
That's mine. What you got? You got a whole list there.
No, that was stuff to watch. I said mine.
Oh, you did.
That was my way to talk about it.
Totally did. Well, mine's You're Next, and it's funny because last week I was talking about Blair Witch, they're both directed by Adam Wingard.
Have you seen
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Oh, you had already seen it. Okay.
I saw it when it first came out. And it's funny because, like, when you watch the trailer, you think it's going to be, like, a serious, like, not funny at all film, but it's actually, like, a really fun, not really gritty, well, I don't know, kind of gritty.
I don't grind. That it's funny. Like,
really?
You're Next.
It was, like, a dark comedy horror. Totally. Yeah.
It has a kick-ass girl, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you...
I guess there is kind of...
There's, like, the strong female. Comedy. You didn't expect her to be all, like...
Yeah.
A survivalist, because that's what she turned out to be. It's a basically quick synopsis is there's this family like get together in the remote woods, and the girlfriend of the guy turned out to be
a bad
idea. This kick-ass badass female. It's a home invasion, and I watched it again because Strangers, the sequel to the Strangers is coming out soon this weekend, so I totally recommend this. It's a really fun film to watch. It's like at first you really don't expect the comedy, but going through it, some of the lines, you're just like, what? Did she really just say that? But you guys should just go see it. And, you know, support Adam Wingard. I know he has made some horrible films, Death Note.
Yeah.
But just go see it. He's made some good films. He's a good guy.
That makes me want to see it, because I like the horror comedy, and that's why, I mean, my film, I haven't seen this, but I'm really looking forward to it. It premieres this Thursday at South by Southwest. It's Bloodfest. Of course, Zachary Levi's in it, and, you know, it should be a little bit more fun. It's from Rooster Teeth, who does mostly like cartoons and stuff like that.
Rubens.
This is their first live action. Wow. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, them.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. See that when you can, guys. Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess I'd just say Jawbreaker is now on Shudder.
That's a good one.
I feel like none of them looked like they were in high school at that point.
No. Like, Rose McGowan and Julie Benz were playing adults on other things, so it was kind of weird, but I was like, I still liked it.
Exactly. Like, it was such a fun movie. So I feel like the 2000 kids and everyone else should experience Jawbreaker, and you could do that on Shudder.
That's such a good one.
Such a good movie.
That's one where
it's her birthday. They kidnap her. Yeah. Shove a Jawbreaker. For some reason.
I saw that when I was like really young. So
it sticks with you though.
Like,
yeah.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, it's very
cool.
Oh man, it's gone wrong.
It was morbid, like girl power.
I like that. Right on. Speaking of awesome people, I have a little thing for you. So, if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we've got a podcast for you. So, Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who got you here, who got you there. So let her know it was from Horror Movie News. Be like, hey, yeah, you heard about it on your show. And yeah, so Conversations with Maria Menounos, a podcast edition. Check it out every Friday. And I gotta say, she helps. She keeps the lights on. So support her all that you can. Also, just a real life true inspiration for what she's gone through. It's just like, you know, take some notes from that. Why wouldn't you want to be a better person? You know, some people need it. All right, and now let's get into some news. Ooh. So the first thing. Oh yeah, so Oscars was Sunday. Did you, anyone? I didn't see it. I know the winners. I just didn't see it.
I watched the clips.
Yeah. Who has cable these days?
Yeah, like I watched it up until I had to come here for Ash versus Evil Dead. So like I had to stop when McConaughey came out, and I was like, damn, I can't watch my buddy Matthew. But yeah, like I watched it strictly for like the jokes, for because Adam Carolla wrote a lot of the jokes, and he's like my hero. So I watched to support Jimmy and Adam.
That's cool. But, yeah. Yeah, because they had the Match show back in the day, right? Okay, so that makes sense why they're still buddies.
Clips online.
So I wanted to talk about like the horror wins at the Oscar because I think it was a great year for
Wait, this way. There we go.
Yeah.
Wrapping good my Del Toro shirt. Yeah.
Yeah. So The Shape of Water had 13 nominations.
Woo!
Yes, and it wins 4 Oscars for Best Director and Best Picture. Along with original score and production design.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Guillermo del Toro. Congratulations, everyone who worked on Shape of Water. What a feat. Have you guys seen it all? Have you guys seen that? Sorry, have you all seen it? Except for...
I haven't seen it.
So there is a thing going around on Facebook that I'm like, but I love the other movie too, where they're doing shot by shot and Splash the Shape of Water, and I'm like, they are super similar, but I love Splash. But I'm also I'm a girl and I love mermaids. It's like, come on,
I need to watch
who doesn't love mermaids? You haven't seen Splash?
I haven't seen Splash.
Oh, it's Tom Hanks.
That's one of the few where the woman essentially is the monster, though she's a mermaid and gorgeous, so it doesn't matter. But you know, it's like it's a reverse.
That's funny. Yeah, I like that part. I was like, haven't you seen a man ever who slept with a fish before? I was like, oh, God. That's just so good. I actually saw it right before the show started. Moving on to Get Out. Get Out had four nominations, I believe. Yes, original screenplay, best picture, best actor, best director. And it wins one for best original screenplay. So congrats. Congrats to Jordan Peele, because I believe
And we were talking about this. It's the first horror movie to win original screenplay.
Oh, you're correct.
Because original screenplay, because everyone's like, Silence of the Lambs, that was an adapted screenplay. Yeah. So, by technicality. Also, and then I was just looking this up right now, on Variety puts as a title of an article, Jordan Peele becomes the first African-American to win
Black
Best
Man.
Screenplay, original screenplay, which that's awesome.
I mean, it's 2017, it's kind of...
I was like, that's a long time.
This is the first one?
I want to know, though, how many... I haven't read the article, so I can't say. I want to know how many screenplays have been nominated, though, by African-American. Like, what are the, what's the ratio?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was controversy around Get Out just a few days leading up to the Oscars, because there were Oscar, the people, what do you call
them? Yes, the members. That was on Twitter.
Who were saying that they didn't consider Get Out an Oscar movie.
Ugh. Yeah.
And like, some of the younger Academy members were like, that's because you haven't watched it. You're not even choosing to like watch this film, you know? Yeah. And it just shows, like, despite all of that, it still went home with something, which I thought was monumental. I mean, horror always gets like the redheaded stepchild kind of treatment when
it's
comes
a black
to
show.
It does.
Yeah, and it has so many, and it's ridiculous to me because it has so many great themes of like politics, of like just gender, like all of it. Like Night of the Living Dead was so progressive back in the day, you know? So,
And certainly like Texas Chainsaw Massacre was another one. I mean, that was like an allegory for the Vietnam War. I mean, definitely Oscar bait, but they didn't really take it then. And that is sort of the thing, is I don't think people realize how deep horror can be. I mean, you have the movie shit that I watch, like Evil Dead, but then there's also really good themes, like with Get Out, and I'm just glad they focused on that. And they got most everything right. I mean, they still managed to give a rapist an award, but, you know.
And then also, did you guys notice that in the Best Picture category, Get Out's the only movie set today?
Oh, yeah, that's
everything else is a different time period.
Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah. It's like you don't see a whole lot of original content with the Oscars. A lot of it is, you know, adaptations, not to discredit them, but also it's based on, like, this president, which is a little boring. It's catered to the old folk, and that, granted, that's the Academy, but it's nice that horror is kind of getting, you know, Shape of Water is kind of horror.
It's in that
you
know,
but
dark fantasy. Maybe.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's adjacent.
It's nice that we're seeing diversity.
Genre monster.
Yeah, it's a genre film. Yeah. It doesn't always do well. I think. Do y'all think it's going to be like a sea change now that these two or these three have gotten like that kind of recognition?
It could be. I mean, over the years, it's been nice. Like the maybe the last five, the Oscars are finally being films like your average person is going to see. Like, do you guys remember? There's been Oscars where you go,
"What was
I've
that?
Never heard of this movie," and like you talk amongst your friends, nobody's seen it. Like it's art house hard to get to movies. It's finally movies. Like Avatar was one of the first like mass popcorn like flicks by some people's standards to be like a nominated kind of thing. So you're just like, yes. So slowly. Well, that's what I would say. Slowly.
The Academy's finally becoming for the people when it was always just Hollywood elite, like kind of more like, and it was always interesting how it was more indie almost in the feel of stuff, but they threw a lot of money at it.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay,
You can see it changing too with like social media. Like the older people of the Academy, those aren't utilizing social media. So there is, you know, it is evolving, you know, slowly. But as a nerd, I really wish Logan would have won for best adaptation.
Me too. You know,
Call Me By Your Name was great and everything, but Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart,
I think a lot of people were feeling
Daphne.
I saw a lot of gifs of people just having Wolverine or
people
Hugh.
People would have lost. People would have lost.
Crying. I would have. Well, because that movie actually made me cry. Yeah. Call Me By Your Name, I didn't even see it, even though I think Armie Hammer is cute. I just thought that also shouldn't have won because of bad taste, you know? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're going to kick certain people out for doing the same thing.
I think,
And Logan's more just a Western.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Western with, it just happened to have some superheroes in it.
It's very much a Tarantino type film, which does get nominated. Yeah. That's what's kind of odd. Yeah.
Well, last thing, Patrick Stewart was snubbed.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's amazing. Yeah.
He's so good in that movie, especially if you watch American Dad. Like, he kind of, like, slips in and out when he's insane into his Bullock character on there. And it's so funny to notice.
Right on. That was a great discussion. I really enjoyed it.
That was good. We were into it.
I said that. He was just like, boom.
I was like, I actually watched the Oscars this year.
Well, because we're all excited. It's finally like horror getting better representation.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was like stuff we can be interested in.
Yeah. Was it Del Toro who was kind of saying like horror is, I think it was during his speech, he was saying how horror is a genre where you, and everybody, it's been said before though too, of like horror is a genre where you can lay out issues better for people to understand it. Mm-hmm. Like, Get Out puts, it's a great way to show different issues going on instead of just like, come on, we need to talk about this. Like, there you go. It's right there.
And that's what the superhero films and stuff do as well. Just people don't always realize it, that that's what they're being told is like actually real life lessons. And
Right on. I wanted to go and visit Oscar films that. Oscar films of the past that were like horror as well, so I call this the horrors of Oscars past. So since the dawn of 1929, which was the first Oscar, there has only been 7 horror films ever to be nominated for Best Picture. There's been a lot for like other things, right?
Yeah.
Best Picture in the history of the Oscars. So taking it back to 1974, the first one ever was The Exorcist. Mm-hmm. It was the first horror film ever to be nominated for Best Picture. It earned 10 nominations and only won 2 for adapted screenplay and sound mixing. Next up is Jaws from 1976. Earned 4 nominations, won 3 for best original music score, film editing, and sound mixing. Third one up is Silence of the Lambs, 1991. Earned 7 nominations before The Shape of Water. This was the only film to have ever won, horror film to have ever won Best Picture. It won 5 for Best Picture, actor for Anthony Hopkins, actress Jodie Foster, director and adapted screenplay. Wow. Fourth up is 2000, The Sixth Sense. The Sixth Sense. Earned 6 nominations, and sadly, it won none of its nominations, but Haley Joel Osment was 11 when he was nominated for Supporting Actor. Wow. And he was like one of the youngest to be nominated for an Oscar.
I think it's The Piano. Anna Paquin was the youngest at like 10?
Yes.
Really?
Right?
Yeah, she was the youngest, yeah.
Nice. And what was that movie called?
The Piano.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up in fifth, 2011, Black Swan. Five mm-hmm. nominations, only won one for Best Actress, Natalie Portman. And then sixth, 2017, Get Out, and also Shape of Water.
Nice.
Okay, just wanted to give a little, like, hey, look at these other horror films that were mm-hmm. nominated for Best mm-hmm. Pictures. All right, next bit of news. World War Z 2 is delayed. So Brad Pitt was recruited pretty much to do Quentin Tarantino's 1969 thriller film. And yeah, so Paramount has delayed production until this fall, but it's also unclear whether or not they had a choice because Brad's like the main producer and also the main actor in the film. So even if they were like, no, they're like, no, it's Brad Pitt. I'm gonna do my own thing, kind of, you know. And it's also cool to like have him rekindle with Quentin Tarantino mm-hmm. and have that happen again. Excuse me.
How long ago was the first one of War World?
You know what?
Was that 14?
Yeah, I think it's been a while.
I think 2016, but I'm Let's pretty see. Sure.
If I'm looking.
15?
All right, get back to
Place
us.
Place your bets.
I'm going with
14.
16. I'm sticking to my gut.
16. Where was he?
14. Nope. I'm going to say 14 too.
I'll go with 15 just to be different. Like, cause so
2013.
Oh, wow.
Earlier. Okay. Damn.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. That was another fun
so
thing.
So why are we doing a sequel?
long ago, right?
I mean, we're not quite that news, but that did make me think of why. What do you guys think of The Strangers coming out so much later than the original Strangers?
Well, I didn't even remember that The Strangers was a thing until she said something about Liv Tyler, and I was like, oh, yeah.
I thought
and
it then, was a remake.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's a sequel. And I was like, oh, Pray at Night. I guess that's a sequel, but I don't even I don't know. Yeah. It's been a while since that first one. Was it the first one, like, 2007?
I want to say it was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while. Some movies just get lost in production hell. I don't know.
True, but it's just one of those, like, how many people are, like, 2008. Wow. So, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's kind of that question.
How many people are aching for it kind of thing?
Why now? Yeah. Like, why did they make it now? And
well, right now, horror's really in, so I do at least get The Strangers. Yeah. But with World War Z, it's like, okay, I get maybe they wanted to make it now, but now that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is holding it up, it's like, do we need it? Yeah.
I feel like a film like The Strangers takes a while because it's like the story. It has to do with the story, the concept.
It has to be a good story.
But whereas the World War Z, it's about the actor who's leading it, Brad Pitt. Yeah. So that's like, I think that's kind of like my take on the situation. Oh, yeah. So same thing with like Blair Witch. No one really talks about the actors that were in the original Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm. But there were some good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's more of the concept. You know, it's not about the A-listers that were in that film, because there really wasn't any A-listers, but A-lister like Brad Pitt and World War Z. So I think that's kind of like my take on it. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not that big on World War Z.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not.
It was very different from the book, wasn't it?
I actually read the book. It was very different. I was a little disappointed it didn't go with the style of the book, but that's okay. Moving on.
It's cool, but it's like the zombies it's just too overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right on. I guess I'll report this real quick. So Under the Silver Lake release date has been announced. So why I feel like this is important, because I don't know if you guys are fans of It Follows. It's by the same director, David Robert Mitchell. So his new film is Under the Silver Lake. It's a modern noir crime thriller set in Los Angeles, and Andrew Garfield is in lead role, along with Riley Keough, who from Logan Lucky, and also from It Comes at Night, and also from Mad Max Fury Road. She was the red-haired girl, I believe.
And Topher Grace.
And Topher Grace, the release date that A24 has set up, and it's going to be, at first, it's going to be New York and LA, and that's the release date we have, which is June 22nd, and after that, it'll go nationwide.
Cool.
So, I'm looking forward to that, and definitely going to add that to the calendar of shows, movies I got to watch. Next up, Insane approaches the release date. We had a clip for it, but we're not going to show it. That's okay. But it's definitely a movie worth putting on your radar. It's Steven Soderbergh who's directing it, who also did Logan Lucky, Ocean's 11, Magic Mike. It's about a young woman who is involuntarily committed to a mental institution. She is then confronted by her greatest fear, but is it real or is it a product of her delusion? So that's what we're going to find out. And the film stars Claire Foy as our female protagonist, and also stars Juno Temple, Jay Farrow, and Joshua Leonard. Fun fact, the whole film was shot on an iPhone, and it was shot within a week.
Cool.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah. And it's set to be released March 23rd, so it's only 3 weeks away.
Soon.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. Next step. Okay, so this is what I would love to actually play. So I have a trailer here for Prospect. So it's written and directed by Zeke Earl and Chris Caldwell. This is their first major feature film. It's actually, they've done nothing but shorts before. And it's based off the short of the same name that premiered in 2014 in South by Southwest. And you can find that same short on Vimeo. It's also called Prospect. It's about 13 minutes long. Let's watch the trailer and I can read off the synopsis. I'm a sucker for like sci-fi horror, so mm-hmm. anything like yeah. that, eating it up. Prospecting
is indeed ooh. An obscure
craft. Yeah, what was so that? Yeah, right? Isn't that weird? Like an organ coming out of the ground.
Is this Annihilation?
I really love their space suits or like their suits that they're wearing. Oh, it just looks so freaking cool.
Is the main cast just them two?
No, there are some main cast. Yes, them two, but there are some others. So the main it's about a teenage girl who's played by Sophie Thatcher. And her father, who's played by Pedro Pascal, travel to a remote alien moon aiming to strike it rich. They've secured a contract to harvest a large deposit of the elusive gems hidden in the depths of the moon's toxic forest. But there are others roving the wilderness, and the job quickly devolves into a fight to survive. Forced to contend with not only the forest's other ruthless inhabitants, but her own father, greed-addled judgments, the girl finds that she must carve her own path to escape.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so it's... Sounds good. It's pretty much, there's some rocks on this moon, they get a job, they're gonna go. The dad, I'm guessing, is gonna get obsessed with, like, getting these rocks. Mm. I'm guessing, like, Moby Dick style. Yeah, to the point where, like, he's putting his own life, as well as his daughter's life, at risk. Mm-hmm. On top of that, there's other parties who want, I'm guessing, want the same valuable ritual minerals of those moon rocks, I guess, mm-hmm. alien moon rocks, and shit's gonna go down. So, mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So I'm looking forward to that like a lot. I'm not sure when it's premiering this Saturday at South by Southwest, but who knows when it'll be like a full nationwide premiere. I definitely also want to check out the short. I didn't have time to watch it, but it expands on the story that's in the short. Yeah, like
that just looks gorgeous.
Some of these shots are, yeah, they look really great. And lastly, I would like to finish the show off with bringing to your attention what horror movies are being released this weekend. And the major one we have is Strangers Prey at Night, and we do have the trailer here for you.
Nice.
Yeah, I have yet to see the first one. I never saw it, but my friend totally recommended it. Yeah, I know it's like one of the best home invasion films.
Was Luke Wilson in it, or was it?
No.
That was another movie, because I was like, there's a very similar one with Luke Wilson that came out like just before the one with Liv Tyler, and I was like, what was it called?
No Vacancy?
I think I know.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, it was almost the same movie.
Was it No Vacancy?
I think it's called Vacancy.
Yeah,
Vacancy?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Christina Hendricks?
Christina Hendricks, yeah.
Yeah,
and
also, I like her.
Something Bailey? I forgot the young lady's name. She was from Bridge to Terabithia, the young daughter.
The blonde?
The young girl. No, not the blonde, the young girl.
I never saw that movie.
I
was like, wait, what did happen to her?
Did you guys see Funny Games? That's another one that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw both versions.
I haven't seen ridiculous. That either, but I hear that one's a good one, too.
When he rewinds everything?
Isn't that crazy? Ridiculous. I'm like, what am I watching? I'm super excited for this, though.
Yeah.
I'm curious, yeah.
Wasn't it the first Strangers that said something like, why are you doing this? And they were like, you were home? Or you
that's what I'm thinking. That was the famous line, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the whole wordplay on Prey at Night, too.
That
was
really
cool. It has like a Vice feel, too.
Okay, that's interesting. Based on true events. I'm always that sucker. I'm like, what? Tell me more.
I hope the trailer didn't give too much away, though. That's my only thing.
Actually,
I feel
here
like
you go. Horror movies and regular movies. Have you guys noticed when it's inspired by and based by? Like, inspired is super loosely.
Yeah.
And based, like, they'll be like, Hostel, inspired by true events. Mm. And you're like,
Like, just but how based, Slovakia kidnaps people and tortures them. Okay, yeah, like, that's happened before, yeah. But
based on is where it's more like, all right, we have some things.
I love the feel that this trailer gives me, so hopefully it's similar to that and it's not, like, false.
Do we think we have to see the first one?
No, I don't think so. No,
I think the plot is pretty straightforward.
It's its own thing.
There might be some, like, minimal, like, callbacks to the
I just feel like there's no way the people at the end are going to have to give some, like, exposition, like, take off the mask. This is why. Hey, this was my motivation.
There's no backstory. There's no origin with the strangers.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
It's very Joker-like. I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think that's why it's so scary, is because there's no backstory. Yeah. No origin.
I think the main thing with... I've never really been into, like, home invasion stuff, but I feel like the main thing with them is figuring out that the surprise is going to be who gets to survive at the end, and... Yeah, basically the jump scares, like, you know, the stuff that happens between. It's so brutal sometimes, though. Yeah. I'm actually going to sit through this one, but I normally don't.
Well, she says it. She's going to sit through it.
Have you seen Southbound?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Okay, yeah, we were talking about that last week. And, they have a home invasion segment in that's really good. And I'm not normally a fan of home invasion.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, there's, like, certain subgenres. It's fine. You just don't like it. But I thought Southbound had a really good home invasion plotline. Did you like that home invasion on that one?
Well, yeah, because it was filmed back home where I'm from. So
yeah, it's like,
oh, that's right.
Desert, that is a great concept for horror films, a great setting, so...
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right on. And that pretty much concludes our show. Just before we do give our little tags and everything, I would like to... just say that we do have a special guest that has confirmed. His name is Russell Cummings, who plays Elias on Crypt TV's The Sunny Family Cult. He will be our guest next week on March 13th at the same time, so please don't miss that. It's going to be great. Also, I want to just cross-promote Meet the Movie Press every Friday at 9 a.m. That's live with Jeff Snyder and Simon Thompson. They're a great, great, great panelists and great hosts on that show that go take you inside Hollywood's industry, pretty much, and all the latest news. They cover everything from Marvel to DC, and like more obscure kind of little things of who's being cast where, or like who what producer is producing what. And it's a fantastic show. I've been engineering that show for a long time now, and I've fallen in love with it. It's great. I just want to cross promote them, and let's put ourselves over, starting with Chauncey.
Okay, hey, once again, I give my tag now. I'm Chauncey K. Robinson. You can find me on Twitter at Ms. Chauncey KR. And also, you can check out my YouTube show, The Bloody Breakdown. And I'll actually be giving, like, a longer review of me going into Veronica this Thursday.
Oh, okay.
All right, and since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And be sure to subscribe to my podcast, Mrs. Brightside, while you're over there subscribing to Conversations with Maria Menounos. Mrs. Brightside is also a motivational, happy podcast, and I get some lovely help from Anthony, who's my editor on that, and hopefully will be a guest soon talking about stuff, and you will recognize some of the voices from your favorite AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk shows. So,
Hey, guys, I'm Oliver Jen. Follow me on all social media platforms at All Age Dreamer. Check me out on the America's Next Hot Model After Show on Tuesdays at AfterBuzz TV, and also the Anime After Show with Carrie D. Lane. We're doing Kakegure. I still can't say it. on Tuesdays as well. And I think that's it. Oh, shout out to Black Jones and Westy Kid in the chat today.
They're all talking about like everything in here.
I remember we Westy Kid.
Guys. Nice. Yeah, Westy Kid from when we were doing the watch along.
My name, thanks for watching and joining us in the chat room. If you didn't watch it live, comment down below. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And at 6 p.m., we have anime, AfterBuzz anime reviews. We're doing the second half of Kakegure, and it's such a crazy show. So watch us talk about it.
Westy Kid, join our giveaway, man. You might be the winner if you're the only one. So, anyways, my name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at Tony B. Tony _ I almost forgot it because I just changed it. Yeah, again, at Tony B Tony _ should be like right here. And that's our show. Thank you so much for joining us. Please rate, subscribe, and all that good stuff. We'll see you next week. Bye bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.